federal chief human capital officers are starting to say working within the current federal HR system may not be the answer to improving hiring, firing, or other personnel processes. Instead, they say it's time to make wholesale changes to the increasingly unwieldy human resources system. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with some ideas on how to fix it. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so Jason, why do the Chicos say the federal HR system is broken rather than just having people, I don't know, need to better understand the rules or something?
Right. I mean, this is actually a major change from what surveys and other things have seen over the years. In fact, the most recent survey from the Partnership for Public Service and Grant Thornton, which I think you guys talked about just yesterday with John Palguda from the partnership, said that found in a survey of 62 chief human capital officers and federal HR leaders that says Congress really needs to revamp the federal pay and job classification system. They say these antiquated and ineffective systems hinder the government's ability to attract, retain, deploy employees as effectively and efficiently as possible. Now, to put a finer point on these survey results, Michael Kerr is the Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management at the Labor Department.
It said the personnel system needs to change. And if you read the report throughout it, people are quoted as saying that, and then there are recommendations and thoughts that this needs to be addressed and needs to be changed. That's actually a big difference in my experience talking to HR directors. And I read the report twice to see if I found this other argument. I've confronted the argument over and over again that, you know, if people would only learn what the rules were, they could do the recruiting they want to do, they could do the hiring they want to do, they could figure out how to fire people. That phrase, that argument, doesn't appear in this report at all. And I think it's really important that the human resources community is getting away from, you know, this thing works for everybody if they'll only figure out the rules the way I know them. And I was delighted that that argument didn't appear in this report and that throughout the report they said the system needed to change.
Now, the change has to happen across the board. It's not just one part or the other that doesn't work. I mean, this is really, the survey really showed that all pieces of this federal HR processes, there's something that needs to be updated, changed, improved upon. But I think the one area that really stood out was around hiring. Now, despite best efforts from the Office of Personnel Management, this Obama administration, and in fact, the administration, the Bush administration as well, agencies continue to struggle with the hiring process. In the report, for instance, Chicos say they face higher than average turnover, rising workloads, and tighter budgets, and they can't always make sure that the people the agencies are wanting to hire are well matched for those jobs. Kerr says the problems with the hiring system actually are systemic.
We have a system that almost violates the first merit principle, that we have open competition for everybody for all jobs. I think we're getting very close to a closed system. Most of our hiring is people who are already in the federal workforce. At USA Jobs is very difficult to navigate if you're an outsider. We have a language in the HR world that only people in the federal service understand and can work their way through. I have no assurance that when I go out and recruit that people who I ask to apply for jobs will actually get through the process of USA Jobs without giving up. And I really appreciated the line in this report that the system that we have now is a disincentive to recruit. It is very hard for me to get people to go recruit people from outside the government from the work that gets placed.
Now, Kerr spoke yesterday on a panel hosted by the Partnership and Grant Thornton in Washington, focusing on this report and other HR challenges. Now, not everyone on the panel was so pessimistic. Brad Bunn is the director of the Human Resources for the Defense Logistics Agency. He says the workforce has its share of challenges, no doubt, but really it does understand what it faces and how it's meeting its mission. And he goes, listen, we got through sequestration, furlough, shutdown, yet these people still came to work every day and did an excellent job. Patricia Adams is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Civilian HR. She, too, is optimistic because of the technology, data analytics. All these things are starting to come to really help improve the HR system. So while, you know, maybe Michael Kerr at Labor feels that there's needs to be change and change is not happening quickly enough, it's not all gloom and doom out there either.
So this idea of overhauling the whole federal HR system, actually, I recall John Berry mentioning this when he first came in. So what do we have to do? I mean, what do I have to do to change it? Policy, or does it require Congress?
Yeah, yes to everything. And you're right, John Berry made some took on some initiatives and made some changes, but maybe they didn't go far enough. Maybe they've fallen back since he's left. It's hard to say why this report shows such a pessimistic look at the hiring and other reforms. Bunn says the fix has to start by simplifying the processes. He says there's 4 rules for federal HR and 40,000 exceptions. Now, obviously, it's probably some hyperbole there, but the point is the rules aren't the complex. It's all the exceptions that are complex. The Navy's Adam adds that on top of that, there's 500 different hiring authorities, so that adds another level of complexity. And Bunn says he's been doing HR for more than 20 years and still does not know all the rules and regulations.
We don't have one personnel system in the Department of Defense or in the federal government. We have a patchwork of lots of different systems. That's a part of the 40,000 exceptions to the rules I talked about. We have demonstration projects that have been being demonstrated for 30 years now. We have across the federal agencies. We have pilots that probably should have either gone away or been adopted as a D system years and years. Even in the classification and pay arena, we have a patchwork of different rules. So right now, I think Congress is focused on other things. But I think if there were a serious and adult conversation about what could we do that's realistic and that were presented to Congress, I think it's possible. But number one, it can't be a management fad because that won't last. It's got to be real reform, and it's got to preserve some bedrock things that we treasure in the civil service that are really embodied in the merit principles. And there's ways to do that, to make improvements.
And remember, Bunn is speaking from experience. He was the lead in implementing the National Security Personnel System, the NSPS, in the mid-2000s that eventually DOD scrapped, or I should say Congress eventually scrapped. And that was a pay-for-performance system in many respects that had both some very good and very bad aspects to it. Now, the Navy's Adam says one of the biggest challenges is over-regulation of the HR function. She says too often agencies receive advice from lawyers, HR specialists, OPM, and others of how to interpret these regulations and policy. She says when it comes down to it, it's really about making good decisions and not getting your agency in trouble. And deregulation of all these federal HR processes and rules would actually make the HR staff, hiring managers, more agile and make it easier in some ways, she thinks, to adhere to the principles of the merit system.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Jason, what are agencies doing in the short term to fix some of this?
Well, I think there are some things that in the short term that can be done that doesn't require changes to law or rule or the regulations or even policy. Labor's Kerr says, his definition of a good HR director is someone who knows the rules cold, knows they don't work, but he still wants that HR person to be very aggressive. Now, I caught up with Mr. Kerr after the event to ask him more about how to be innovative.
You have to make decisions about when you're going to do risk. And the HR system is not used to talking about risk. So they sort of have to sort of say, okay, where are we going to come up closer to the line? Where are we going to try and figure out how to do this in a way that the regulation that was written 40 years ago and, what they worry about too much is somebody going to slap them on the wrist.
But how do you, as the manager or the assistant secretary for management, say to them, take that risk, it's okay, I have your back? Because without that assurance, no one's ever going to take a risk.
The only way you succeed in that, and it's mostly in procurement, is if you let us know, we won't hold it against you.
Not ask for forgiveness, but ask for permission.
Right, right. Now have a conversation with us. And if we've had the conversation, it's on my neck.
So Ned Holland is the Assistant Secretary for Administration for the Department of Health and Human Services. He says there's an awful lot of what agencies do that are embedded in practice, but not in statute or law or regulations. Holland says HHS actually is promoting innovation across the agency through what he calls an innovation council.
I recognize that a low-level employee worries about his or her job, and it's necessary that leaders say, look, take the risk and I'll see to it that I take the responsibility. My view of my job is to take the responsibility. I try to give credit to all kinds of people and take all the responsibility myself.
Are there certain things that this innovation committee kind of promotes around HR specifically?
Except that the book doesn't always say the things people say the book says. That's the first place you start. I mean, it just isn't always the case. It becomes sort of in the water, and people just accept it as a given. And I push people all the time, really? Where does it say that? Show me the statute. And beyond that, the HR shop won one of our innovation awards. They put together a program called Ready Cert Hire. That gets all the jargon. What was up to was creating quick certs so that people could do the hiring fast. And that's an example. We also have a hiring pilot going on that we're working with OPM. Each of those is an area where we think we can make progress, and we're encouraging folks to make an effort, take a risk. A psychologist at Boston College, where I went to school, used to say, make a decision, take a risk, pay the price. Prices aren't that high.
Now, Holland says the hiring pilot is around hiring more quickly and getting the hiring manager involved in the process early on. He says HHS is also trying to pre-qualify people earlier in the process as well to help the entire hiring process work more smoothly. Now, in addition to these internal changes, Holland says HHS has decided actually to stop offering or being an HR shared services provider, and it's moving all of its HR systems to the Agriculture's National Finance Center. He said it's all about helping create a government-wide HR system so agencies can do data analytics to better understand all phases of the human resources program and processes. Holland says the move to the NFC is happening in three phases. The first part's going to go live this August, and all of it he hopes will be completed by next spring.
All right, more to come. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.